2 weeks ago, I began a series of homilies about allowing ourselves to be re-evangelized, to try to hear the gospel anew, to be more faithful and more fruitful disciples of the Lord, so that we might be part of the new evangelization that Pope Francis, Pope Benedict before him, Pope John Paul II, St. John Paul II, and even Pope Paul VI called for. Those of us who are already practicing the faith need to be re-evangelized, to take up the task of discipleship with more ardor and more enthusiasm. And I've been basing my remarks on a little book by a gentleman named Matthew Kelly, who observed that in parishes across the country, he's consistently found that about 7% of registered parishioners are really pulling the wagons, making the parishes work, both in terms of their contributed efforts and their volunteer labor, and also the financial contributions to the parish. So Mr. Kelly identified 4 specific behaviors that are characteristic of the 7% of our people who until now have been most engaged in the life of the church. And this series of homilies is about those 4 behaviors, about trying to live them again more intensely in our own lives. So the first of those is prayer. Not just praying sometimes, praying when the mood strikes me, or saying grace before meals, for instance, which is a lovely custom, but giving 10 minutes a day to real conversation with God as a habit, as a discipline, as a priority in our daily lives. And my challenge to you is to do this for just 1 month, because that's how long it takes to acquire a habit, along with just turning our minds to God first thing each day, especially before we engage any electronic device. So last week I talked about the 7 particular things that can go on in those 10 minutes of prayer each day. And I've reiterated them again in my bulletin letter today as a little aid to your memory, or to bring you up to speed if you've not been here before. Those 7 things start with gratitude and then moves on to a reflection on the last 24 hours, any moment we have not been our best self. And then the 3rd moment in prayer, Kelly calls listening. That's what I want to talk about more today. I've made this point before in homilies, that conversation with God is what prayer is really meant to be. And we all know how conversation works. It isn't just talk, 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 talk. It's talk, listen. Talk, listen, humanly speaking. That's what conversation is. That's what our prayer should be too. So how do we do that in context of our relationship with God? If we just sit down and say, okay, now I'm going to listen what God wants to tell me, chances are, unless you're a mystic, that is not going to work so effectively. If you are a mystic, you can disregard the rest of this homily. And in fact, all my homilies. But if prayer is conversation with God, how does the conversation begin? Well, we might very well begin with what we know the Lord has already said to us in sacred scripture. That is what he has said to us. We try to listen to that anew and then to respond, as we do in human conversation. So we might take as an example the first reading of the Mass today, a story of King Solomon. You know, Solomon was the wisest king in Israel. Famous story about the 2 women fighting over the baby, and he offers to cut the baby in half, and so on. In the first reading today, we hear the story of how Solomon got to be the wisest king that Israel ever had. He asked for that gift. But when we pray with sacred scripture, the point is not to know the story and to learn something about Solomon. The point is to hear the Lord speaking to me. And so if we are praying with this passage, we read, God said, ask something of me, and I will give it to you. Now, the exercise of prayer is to imagine that God is saying that to you. Ask something of me, and I will give it to you. Obviously, now the ball is in my court to hold up my end of the conversation, to make a response. For what do I ask? Wouldn't be that unusual for our minds to run first to the next drawing for the Mega Millions lottery and to think, well, yeah, if I could have anything, that'd be kind of nice. But then we might think, well, you know, there's stories about what happens when people hit those big jackpots, how their lives often become very, very unhappy. That probably is not the best answer. If we're parents, a much more praiseworthy answer might well come into our minds, well, you know, I want the gift of faith for my children, or something like that. But that's not actually what the Lord is asking. He says, ask something of me, and I will give it to you. Not ask something for someone else. Later on in those seven steps of prayer, we pray for others. That's a very important thing. But at this moment, the Lord is saying, ask something of me, and I will give it to you. Why? Not to make us selfish, but because others cannot cooperate in receiving the gifts that we ask for them. We can cooperate in receiving the gifts that we ask of God for ourselves. So that's the question. And then the ball is in my court. What is my answer? There's no right answer because it's different for each person. Each one of us needs a grace, an increase in a particular virtue that is unique to ourselves. I am called to make my answer. And then to ask the Holy Spirit, was that a good answer? The Holy Spirit has an opinion about which answers are better than others, as evidenced in this reading, when he gives Solomon what he asked, because Solomon has asked for the right thing. Solomon has asked for a good thing. So then we must listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say about our answer. Is it a good answer? Was there a better answer I should have given? And then it's time for us to talk again, to ask for that gift, as God wants to give it, in his way, in his good time. We might equally look at the gospel of today's Mass as a vehicle for conversation with God, for a prayer that involves listening. I'll take the second of the two little parables we heard. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls." Now, I must try to imagine myself hearing those words from Jesus when he spoke them the first time. That's the thing. When we pray with Scripture this way, the point is not to say, oh, yes, it's that gospel, and here's how it comes out. No, that's not the point. The point is to try to listen to the words as if we've never heard them before, as if we're hearing them when they were first spoken from the lips of the Lord. Of course, we're Catholics, so we're not listening to the words of Jesus, trying to find new doctrine of the faith. We're not trying to discover what the eighth sacrament should be in listening to the words of Jesus. We're trying to listen what he has to say to me in my concrete situation. So, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. If I am in the kingdom of heaven, I am meant to be searching for something of very, very great value. So that suggests the question, is that the way I experience my Christian life? Or what am I searching for? I do lots of things in the course of the day, in the course of the week. What are they all about? What am I really trying to achieve or trying to get? Or where am I trying to get to? In my own experience in life, you know, we have worldly goals, worldly ambitions. And that's all right. That's part of living in this world. But sometimes we pay a great price for those things. We work very, very hard for them. And when we finally achieve them, we find out, you know, that's really not all it was cracked up to be. My life really has not been made completely blissful by the fact that I've gotten to this point. Being in a university town, a doctorate comes easily to mind in that connection. But it could equally apply to the red buttons of a Monsignor. So what am I treasuring? What am I working for? What am I seeking? The point of that parable is I am meant to be seeking the kingdom of heaven. Now that means heaven, eternity. But also, in this world, it means seeking the reign of God. Seeking to live under his reign. There's a sort of reference to that in the opening prayer, the collect of the Mass today, that with you as our leader and guide. Is that how my life looks? And I can speak to the Lord about that. Am I living with you as my leader and guide? How am I doing that? What price have I not yet been willing to pay for that pearl of great value? And also, of course, in those little parables, there's the sense that the person who finds a buried treasure or who finds the pearl of great price doesn't sell everything grudgingly in order to acquire that. That strikes this person as an opportunity that he can't pass up. If I can have the field that has that treasure, if I can have that pearl, that's worth everything. What am I holding on to that is not worth giving up for the sake of the kingdom of heaven? We might well ask the grace to be able to give that up. So, those are a couple of little examples of how that might look. Listening to what the Lord has said to us already in sacred scripture, trying to hear it anew, responding, and then asking for what the Holy Spirit has to say about our response, and then asking the Lord for the help and the grace that we need. In my bulletin letter today, besides recapitulating those seven things that we might do in prayer, I also do a bit of this exercise with the gospel for next week's Mass and pose some provocative questions related to the first few lines of next week's gospel as an invitation to pray with sacred scripture making that commitment, just 10 minutes, just 10 minutes a day for a month, to let that conversation with God either begin or mature, that we might know the Lord better and might be better equipped to bear witness to him, to others, to take part in the bringing the gospel again to our generation, to our time and place.